Hello, everybody. This is Keith, Music Man Henlick, and this is the Final on Vinyl podcast. And today we have Jill Haley. And recently she put out an album called Wrapped in Light on November 5th. And I had the pleasure of listening and covering that and wanted to introduce you to her. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Keith. Thanks so much for the invitation to talk today.
Absolutely. You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to an artist after I've covered their music for so long, and I get a chance to hear a voice and put it to a face and get to know people a lot better that way. So
it is. Yeah. That we get is so much digital stuff going on. It's nice when you actually see a person or talk to a person.
Right. Seems like the further we get into technology, the further we get away from each other, you know?
Yeah, but it's been kind of neat, though, at coming back to more live things after the last year and a half. I noticed people are really appreciating live concerts, and it's just I'm starting to see little kids' faces I haven't seen in a year and a half as they start to get the vaccine, you know, the 5 to 12 year olds, and it's like, wow, I never even saw your face before, you know, little kids I teach. So it's really, that's kind of neat to see that happening.
So you work with little ones?
Well, I teach some music lessons at my house.
Oh, okay.
That's what I do. Yeah, I do that. Like, yeah, I've been doing that forever. Just a nice way to make a little supplemental income, and you know, it's kind of good. Good thing to do. Yeah.
Okay. So I was interested to see the change in direction that you made with your music and different people involved and. You were inspired by the Book of Psalms.
Yeah, it really was a result of when we first had to stay in our houses all the time last March 2020 and April and May, and I started getting just stir crazy because I had all these trips planned, all these artist in residencies, and they all were getting canceled one after another, and it really got depressing. So I thought, well, maybe I can find a different way to find some inspiration for some music writing. And you know, I don't know about you, but I have all these, like, I'll call them, you know, lifelong things. Oh, someday I'm going to read the Bible, or someday I'm going to read, you know, an epic book, and I never quite get around to it. So I thought, well, this is the time. So I took the Book of Psalms because I knew there was some beautiful images of nature in there, and I thought that might be a jump-off point for writing some music because that is really what I love to do. So it was, and a lot of the Psalms are very dark and deep and, you know, people getting killed and stuff, but then there's also some other beautiful images. So I went for the nice, you know, the forest and the waters and all that stuff. But it was kind of a very personal project, and I would never have probably done it if we hadn't gone through what we went through in the last 2 years. So I'm glad in a way I got to do this.
That's interesting. Everybody I talk to in the music industry in particular has said that there's obviously been some disadvantages to, you know, COVID hitting and everything that's happened. It's been like, you know, the domino theory, one thing after another being affected and affecting all our lives. But for people that are recording music, creating music and so forth, they were given a space of time to do things that they always wanted to do or decide to record an album when they didn't have that on their plate, you know?
Right. Yeah, and it's easy to push it off and go, oh, someday I'll do this or that, and, you know, other real life intrudes. So, yeah.
So did you feel like, I love the title, Wrapped in Light. Did you feel like you were wrapped in light when you were creating all this? Is that what the general feeling was to you? You were so inspired, and it was a spiritual experience, and that's the warmth that you felt?
Yeah, I think we can say that. I love the sun. I love, you know, I mean, it's so cliche in one way. We all tend to write songs about the ocean and the water and the light and everything, but I just love the warmth of the sun and the light, and I've often been just mesmerized by the clouds and just the different formations with the light. And that actual photo on the CD cover, Wrapped in Light, was taken up at Acadia National Park when my car broke down. And I was in such a remote part of the park, I was stuck for there for 5 hours because it took that long for a tow truck to come to that part of the park. And I was just so upset because I was like, oh, I only have a certain amount of time here and I'm sitting here in a broken down car. And then, of course, you know, I got this gift. This beautiful light started coming through the clouds. It was over the ocean, over Scudic Point. And I went, wow, that is just beautiful. So even though the piece itself had been written, you know, during the pandemic, last summer, June of 2021, I was up in Maine and I went, oh, there's the photo for the cover. And I just took a bunch of them and it was just amazing. And then a storm came in right afterwards. So, yes, I did feel like I was wrapped in light. And I just, it gives you a sense of warmness, of being protected. And I think, can't speak for everybody, but I think a lot of us felt kind of like vulnerable in the last 2 years and we needed some extra protection. So I think that's where that kind of came from, too.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at that cover now and I can see a face in the clouds and he's got like a little goatee sticking out. I see a nose, eyes, mouth.
I'm looking at it too. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. That's kind of funny. Yeah. That's cool.
I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
So people that aren't familiar with your past work, I probably understand why you were in a remote part of the areas because you went to all the parks and created albums in those parks. Maybe you could shed a little light on that for the listening audience. What that was like.
Sure. What I've been doing, I'm going to say now for the past decade, because it started around I guess 2013 was the first artist in residency I had in a national park. And what had happened is before that, in about 2010, I went to Glacier National Park in Montana, and I was just awestruck by the beauty there. And I had been doing a lot of recording as an oboist, English horn player, on imaginary road recording artists that work with Will Ackerman. He'd often have the artists use me to provide, you know, oboe lines, English horn lines over their piano or guitar compositions. And I'd done a lot of this and thought, wow, this is really beautiful stuff. And I came home from Glacier really inspired to start writing my own music. I had been writing other music in a trio format for years before that, but this was my first solo project, and I knew I could play the piano well enough to, you know, lay down some basic stuff. And so I recorded that album in, like, 2010 or 11, and then went over. And anyway, my recording engineer at the time, Corin Nelson, had suggested I look into being an artist in residence at a national park. And so I did that, and kept applying and kept getting rejected and thought, wow, there's a lot of people who want to do this. So finally, Mesa Verde offered me an artist in residency, which meant an answer to all the unspoken questions and often spoken questions. No, I do not get paid to do this. It's usually the deal is they give you a place to live, though, for free while you create your art. And then your gift back to them is whatever art you create. Usually I do a concert at the end of the residency. And up until recently, and hopefully still, but it's declining every year, they would often sell my CDs in the parks, in their gift shops, which I always thought, I know when I'm doing a whole souvenir thing, looking in shops, I want something specific to that park. I don't want just like American West music, you know, I want something specifically about that place. So I thought that this might be something that would appeal to people, and I think it did. So anyway, so I did. I've now done 8 artist in residencies, and I've put out 8 albums, but this most recent one obviously wasn't about a park, the Book of Psalms one.
Wow. See, I didn't realize that was the whole process. I thought that you went there long enough to record, and then you left and, you know, put the album out. I didn't realize it was an artist in residency thing. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, I just create the music there, and then actually my recording skills are nil. So I go, the last, you know, I did several up at Imaginary Roads, not with Will, the producer. He just let me use the studio, and I worked with Tom Eaton and Corin Nelson over the years. Most recently, Corin Nelson has moved to Michigan. So I've been usually record the album about a year later. Like, I have some music from when I went to Alaska, I wrote way back in 2017 that never got recorded. So I'm planning on recording that this summer for the next release. So there is definitely a delay, but just partly financial. I have to wait till I save up enough money to pay to put it out. And you're just partly just getting all the details. It's a lot of work, as you know. It's a lot of work putting out a report. Yeah.
Do you recover a lot of what you invest in when you put a CD out? You break even? How does that usually work for you? Or does it vary from album to album?
Well, I think it was like a lot of small businesses. You know, the first few years were, I wasn't expecting to even recoup my losses. Not losses, but my expenses that I paid. But again, back in 2011, 12, 13, up to about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the Parks would often order, 100 CDs and sell them, in their stores and stuff. So I'd make a little bit of money that way. And then, of course, selling the CDs. I do a lot of concerts where I have a video. I show a video of the images that inspire the music. And there's a lot of, videos on my webpage, which is jillhaley.com. And you can see the video of the images that inspired the music. Like if one of the songs on this one is Flourishing Grass, then I'll put together a video, that lines up with the music. And I show the video while I do a live concert with usually a guitarist and a pianist. So now lately streaming has kicked in, which is nice. Streaming money, like basically satellite radio, has been really nice to start making a little bit of money on.
Oh. So not Spotify or Pandora, any of those? Is something different?
Spotify and Pandora, I mean, if you look, I get all that stuff too, but you can look at, we have 47 plays of this one song, and you made 3.7 cents, Spotify's pretty, unless you do a whole thing where you're curating a listener's list and I don't know. It seems there's a real, I guess there's an algorithm, or if you want to make it a full-time job, you can figure out how to monetize that. I just don't, frankly, have the time or the interest in doing that. So Pandora, same thing. It's not like Apple iTunes. Yeah, you make a little bit more money, like maybe 99 cents. But, when you're talking about recouping a few thousand dollars, it's not, that doesn't add up. But there's something called SiriusXM Satellite Radio. That does show a considerably better turnover.
I didn't realize that. I'm very familiar with that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great.
How long have you been at this? When was the first time you picked up an instrument and knew that this is what you were going to do for the rest of your life?
Well, I don't know if it was that clear cut. I mean, I started playing like most kids did in school, school band, and, got real involved being a real band kind of high school kid, going to, trying out for auditions for different groups and stuff, and went to college, had a degree in bachelor's in music from Temple University, and worked as a music therapist for a few years, and then started teaching privately and starting to play more concerts. Classical. I do a lot of. In fact, that's what I'm leaving for at 1:30 today. I have to go to an orchestra rehearsal, a double early holiday pops rehearsal. So So I started playing more and teaching privately, and So it's been. It's not like I was clear cut that this is what I'm. I certainly didn't know I was going to be doing what I'm doing now when I was a young adult. In other words, writing music about national parks. That was not on my radar until about 10 years ago. So
it's really amazing if you think about music. It's like a tree, and there's so many different branches that come off of that tree. There's just so many directions you can go with your music. And I think with instrumental music in particular, there's a lot more opportunity to expand and go in different directions. You're just, I think it's limited when you have, pop music with vocals, and you might hear it on a commercial or something, but all the different areas that you've worked in, that wouldn't have happened, I don't think, if you weren't making instrumental music.
Right, instrumental music, but even, and I think the other thing about instrumental music, at least most of it, is that it's kind of timeless. In other words, the satellite radio program is still playing pieces I wrote in 1988, with my trio of two guitars and oboe called One Alternative, and it sounds just as contemporary as something from Wrapped in Light. In other words, it's just instrumental acoustic music. There's a, you know, a longevity to it, which is quite lovely. From the, you know, from just the perspective of geez, when I hear a 1988 pop song on the radio, I go, wow, that really sounds out of date, or you know, you can definitely tell it's got a disco beat or whatever. And, you know, it's much different than what you're hearing in 2021 in the pop vein. And but yet with this, it's kind of like the Windham Hill sound from the 70s and 80s. It's, you know, you just, that's timeless too, you know. So that's a really, really neat part of what I do, that you just kind of feel like it's going to last.
It's true. And if you look at what people are into, you know, I can think of jazz in particular and some of the greats that put out these really long improvisational pieces. And, you know, Duke Ellington and, you know, Miles Davis, you know, people are still buying and listening to all that music to this day. You know, there's no end in sight, you know?
Yeah. It is amazing. And I hear a lot of people like guitarists doing stuff that sounds to me like Michael Hedges, you know, so the tradition carries on, you know, the tapping on the guitars and stuff. And wow, I hear that. Or I hear that to Paul McCandless from Oregon, the group Oregon, and the Paul Winter Consort. He's an oboist who really majorly influenced me. Yeah, you just kind of hear the similarities through the years, which is really neat.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the plans for you for next year? Are you planning to record another album or have different areas that are working?
Yeah, my problem is I honestly have three groups of projects that I'd like to record. Obviously, I can't do them all next year. So I spent last November, so I guess it's just about a year ago from where we are right now, in Big Cypress National Preserve in Florida, which is, pretty much down there at the bottom of Florida. And that was amazing. And I wrote, again, I lived there for 2 weeks writing music. So I wrote six pieces down there. And then I wrote six pieces from an early Alaska trip to Wrangell St. Elias National Park, again, as an artist in residence. So I thought I could put the two of those groups of music together and put out a piece, I mean, a recording, working title, Ice and Sun, or something along those lines. In other words, we're going from Alaska to Florida, you know, from cold to really warm.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be a nice combination, and the pieces work well together, I think. So I think that's my plan. And then I also, like I said, I was in Acadia last summer. I got a bunch of music from there, and I was also in Arizona at Petrified Forest National Park. These are all artists in residencies that I was offered and all got canceled or delayed due to the pandemic. So they all sort of happened. I would never usually do three in a year, but they all got it kind of like, got to do it now to use. And I was like, oh, so I did a lot of writing and traveling last year. So I think this year might be a year of catching up on all that stuff. So
actually you're set for the next 3 years if you want to do it that way.
I know, because I like the part where I go to visit these places, too. That's always fun. But I also have an arranger who's been arranging my pieces for orchestral, you know, for an orchestra with solo oboe English horn. So I'm calling it National Park Suite. And I did one a couple years ago, and he's doing another one for this June. So I picked up four new pieces, and we're doing a concert in June of four pieces that I wrote in the trio format that will now be performed with the orchestra. So that's cool too. I'm enjoying that.
That's great. I'm sure I'll be hearing from you as you get ready to release things. So look forward to that.
I got your number.
Well, Jill, it's been a pleasure today to speak with you finally after all these years, and I look forward to more music and wish you and yours a happy holiday season.
Thank you, Keith. You too. Take care.
You too, Jill. Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.